Once again, let's turn to a very familiar passage, one that I preach on every Christmas Eve, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Either read with me or listen as I read this very familiar passage. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Pray with me. Almighty God, once again we hear a most familiar passage. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes to see, to hear, to know and to understand the word that is maybe too familiar to us sometimes, but a word from you to us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about how amazing it really was that God had ordained before the foundation of the world for the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem, that he so ordained things that when the time came, the Messiah's mother and father were moved from Nazareth to Bethlehem because God had moved in the heart of the greatest Caesar of the time, Caesar Augustus, to bring about a census, a registration, a tax, and each person had to go to their own home. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and that all the world would be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own home. History tells us, in fact, we have history that shows that Caesar Augustus actually did these things. So we know historically that this happens, but it also happened with other oppressors of the time. However, what looks like greed and control from a Roman leader by the common eye really is the hand of the Lord moving the plan of redemption just as he had ordained it, because he ordains all things. We see this in the Old Testament as God moved nations constantly for his judgment and design. God ordains whatsoever comes to pass, and the hand of God carries it out. With this in mind, let me ask another question. Have you ever felt, like me sometimes, insignificant in this world of pushing 8 billion people? Insignificant with so many big things going on around us, from political unrest to industrial complexes, to social issues that seem to be out of control and certainly out of our ability to deal with. Do you feel insignificant? Do you sometimes feel afraid? Well, the angel says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. For Scripture is constantly pointing out the fact that all of this, from the raising up of leaders to the raising of huge political movements to all kinds of things that are going on, all happen because of the hand of God. Proverbs 21 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. So nothing is unseen, nothing is unknown, nothing gets by God as if he could be distracted. The Bible makes it clear that God and God alone is the one who shakes the nations as he sees fit for his purposes. There's nothing arbitrary in the hand of God. This is all done for the sake of his glory, to carry out the covenant of grace that God has had in place since before time and will continue to roll forward until Christ returns. Here we see God moves the whole Roman Empire just to send Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem at just the right time. And his time is always perfect. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. You think of the situation around the movement of people. Think of the situation around the movement of this particular couple. And just because we have adversity today, let us not ever stop, or let us never think that God is somehow not with us. The hand of God is with us in the midst of our adversity. It's not our prosperity that God is concerned about, it's our holiness that's always on his heart. So the adversity that he brings, the trials that he brings, the struggles, the darkness that we've been continually talking about, that Christ has lit the light on, all of this is because he's moving us. His will is being done. It will be done to us and for us. He is intimately involved with us. And that's the great reason we can rejoice, even in the midst of our adversity. We are called upon to do that. Because all these things are done for the furtherance of his redemptive plan. He planned it, he implements it, and by his mighty hand, he carries out, makes sure every little detail is carried out, even the inconvenience to this extremely pregnant woman and her husband. All of it was part of his plan. Now, one might think that since God rules the world and he could move an entire empire around to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, surely he could have provided a room for them in the inn. He could have, but he didn't. Jesus could have been born to royalty or to some wealthy, influential person, and he wasn't. He could have turned stones into bread in the wilderness to satisfy his immense hunger, but he didn't. He could have called 10,000 times 10,000 angels down to take him off the cross at Calvary. But that wasn't the plan. Because it's not what God could have done that matters. It's what he did do and does do that matters. His will be done. God's will through Christ was to bring him to earth. Though Christ was rich, as we sung about earlier, he became poor for our sakes. The no vacancy sign over the inn in Bethlehem was there as part of the details that God had worked out. You know, you've heard me say this before, but we always say that the devil's in the details. Well, the devil's not. The devil can only do what God tells him to do. God's in the details. Every detail. From no room in the inn to a stable in a mountainside. No room, no motel rooms. Those are things that he controls. And while they were there, the time came for him, for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Lots to be concerned about for this young couple. Things that just continue to reveal themselves. But what we see here is the angel constantly reminding them to not fear. All the way back, starting with Zechariah. Zechariah was told, fear not. Then Mary was told, fear not. Then Joseph was told, fear not. And then the shepherds are told, fear not. Seems like there's a theme here or something. Fear not. It's a natural thing for us to fear, especially in this fallen world. Fear permeates our lives on so many levels. But even though it's natural, or maybe it's more that we just take our eyes off the Lord way too much that causes the fear. Either way, God keeps telling us, that is, those of us who are His, fear not. Because we're too often fearful of the things of this world, and we're not fearful of Him. We focus on everything else but God, so it's natural that fear would take over. So He speaks to the shepherds through the angel. He speaks to us through His Word so that we will be focused on Him, His work, and His will, not on the scary stuff in this world. We hear this word, these words, fear not, the angel said, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born to them. A Savior has been born to us, who has come to have victory over sin and death by His death and resurrection, so that all who believe in Him will have eternal life and not suffer the second death, as we saw in our study of Revelation, the death of condemnation. Now, I would think that would be pretty good news. Let's think about this a minute, though. What is it that people are fearful of, for the most part? Poll after poll after poll, research after research after research says that the average person is fearful of death, and they're fearful of whether there's an afterlife and what that would be. Well, the good news is that Jesus came and took away the fear of death. He died, He rose again for all of us, taking away our sins, saying that we will have eternal life. The fear of death is gone. And if that's true, and it is, then surely God does not want us to fear the lesser things in this life. So another message of Christmas, which we hardly ever think of, is fear not. We get so caught up in the hustle and bustle and the fear not. God, our Emmanuel, is with us. He's ruling the world for His own glory and the good of His children. There's so many promises in Scripture. If you ever spend time just focusing on discovering all the promises in Scripture, you'll never get through. I've tried it a few times to start listing out the promises. As you know, I journal through the Scriptures, and I do that, and it got to the point where my list of promises was, I didn't have enough paper, and I don't type, so I said, I just got to give this up. So here's three of my favorite promises, which, of course, there's probably three or more or four favorites as well. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This comes from Psalm 27. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 41. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Then from Matthew, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, but seek first the kingdom of God. This lack of fear of the world enables us to do as we were created to do, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Anything less makes life meaningless and leads to fear. As the angels reminded the shepherds that night in their song, glory to God in the highest. Focusing on God rather than the world, rather than our troubles, rather than the struggles that we have, rather than the fears that we have, there's where the joy comes from. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Focusing on His glory enables us to experience the peace that has been granted to all of us who are justified in Christ Jesus. Again, that's good news. But there's a somber tone that goes along with this as well, for not all people are promised this peace. In fact, this peace is only for those on whom God desires and delights Himself to place His peace upon. There is no peace for those without faith. In fact, we are told in Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please God. So Christmas does not bring peace to all, just to those on whom God places His peace. And for us, that means eternal life. Another piece of good news. John tells us, God, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And it was to His disciples, that means to His church, alone that He says that Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you all. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That peace of the Lord comes directly from Him to us. As the Prince of Peace, His subjects, His elect from before time, enjoy the peace that surpasses all understanding, because we were chosen for peace and joy in Christ. When we stop experiencing these things, and we do from time to time, when we stop experiencing that peace and that joy, we recognize maybe for the first time that we are out of sorts with God Himself. But once we recognize that, we can be like Mary and treasure up all of these things, pondering them in our hearts, pondering them, taking them in so that they make a real difference. It's one thing to have a head knowledge, but it's another thing to ponder, to meditate on the promises of God. Take them into your soul. They become treasures. She was not distressed over what these things might mean that night, it seems, but she treasured them. She treasured them up as a mother does her children who do great things, and people come and tell them that they've been great. And you say, well, that's my kid? Or just the encouragement you get from the people around you when you have a baby. You treasure up those times. You treasure that. And when we treasure up the promises of God, we can do as the shepherds did. Returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it has been told to them. The true light which enlightens all who are His came into the world on this night so many years ago because of the hand of God. So we praise the Lord our Savior, who has come and who reigns now and will reign forever. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Pray with me. Glory to God in the highest. Father, we are grateful for your continued reminder of this simple birth. Oh, there was so much darkness surrounding it. There was so much that looked like circumstances were out of everyone's control, except everything happened just the way you had planned. Because of the hand of God, Jesus was born. Jesus suffered. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And he's coming again. And we look forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen.